Absolute Radio Country is filled with the best sounds from Nashville 24 hours a day. But even we can't fit in everything. You'll find a full story right here. This is Country Music Talk, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the world of country music.
We love bringing you the biggest names from the world of country music here on the podcast, so thank you for listening. Remember to subscribe if you haven't already, and that way you'll never miss an episode. And if you're in the UK, you can listen to Absolute Radio Country live and enjoy the No Repeat Guarantee. It's our promise to never play the same song twice during your workday between 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. Right, on with the podcast.
This is the Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
Here we are, Absolute Radio Country. I'm Baylen Leonard. Today, joining me on the show, Deacon Claiborne. No. Ward Cameron.
Almost.
No. Yeah. Charles Esten.
Boom. Hey. Josh from Stanford on the office.
Oh, God, yes. I mean, hey, does that happen to you in real life? You walk down the street and people go, Deacon.
Absolutely. I play a little bit of roulette where I'm trying to guess. When I see the recognition, I'm trying to guess what they know me from. And sometimes you can guess just based on how old they are, like if it's one or the other. But sometimes you just absolutely cannot.
That's good. Keeping you on your toes, you know.
Absolutely,
you can't put people into a box.
No, you're exactly. That's what I keep learning again and again.
What do you get the most?
Probably Outer Banks, but I swear over here, I get Deacon a whole lot. Nashville really has a place in the hearts of your countrymen and women.
It sure does. I mean, producer Adam here just not that long ago started watching Nashville.
I love that so much, and I was streaming, and I mean, nothing goes away.
Nothing goes away, which is good and bad, I suppose. Do you have any things out there that you wish would go away? Because, actor,
I'm
you've done so
guy.
Much,
no,
right?
I mean, if somebody likes it, that's good enough for me. There's a big world out there. There's not like when we had two or three stations to watch something, so everything was pushing something else off the airwaves. It's all available, and why not?
It's all available. Too much choice, I say.
Oh, really?
Well, I get a little bit bogged down. Do you not, like, when you're sitting down to watch something, you'll be like, oh, well, okay, I'm going to put that on the list of things I might watch tonight, but I just need to check my other 17 platforms.
There's the other times when we're just like, what to watch, and we can't come up with that.
Yeah, it's literally nothing on of the millions of things.
Well, I tell you what, you know my wonderful wife, Patty. She is my the Siskel and Ebert of all streaming things, because they used to do
thumbs
down. With Patty, I would just do eyes open or eyes closed. That's it. If we're watching something and it's around 11:30 and her eyes are open, that has got to be an absolute perfect show. And when I look over and she's into it, I go, man, that's as nice as you could say to this show.
So, oh, no, I get that. My other half, we'll spend hours picking out something, and then like 5 minutes in, he'll fall asleep. And so now what I do is I go, okay, well, we're just going, even though I don't want to watch this, we're going to watch this because you're going to fall asleep, and then I can watch what I want to watch.
Well, she also knows that I will hate watch something. Like, I'll get two or three episodes in and really not be enjoying it. But because I'm an actor and I'm in the business, I'm fascinated about why I'm not enjoying it. Things that go sideways, things that start well, but then fall off the tracks
so
a little
many
bit.
Of those
it's very
nowadays.
Sad. That's because it's so hard to keep up the quality and to keep it all the way to the finish line. I know how hard it is. So I shouldn't say hate watch. I watch them. It's almost like, oh, God bless you. It's so hard.
Bless your heart.
Yeah. You know country.
So
exactly.
If they were to do a Nashville reboot, if they were like, hey, we're bringing Nashville back, would you do it?
Well, I tell you what, the way I look at it, I see this bank of goodwill that show has built up over the years. Uh-huh. And it's, to me, that's sort of like a bank account of the good feelings
literally.
People have for this, right? So you could either go hit the ATM and withdraw all that goodwill and cash in and make a little of that Deacon money. Uh-huh. But man, I would not want to do that. If I ever saw a script or something that I said, this will not be a withdrawal. This will add to the legend. Mm-hmm. I would do that. But in the meantime, we're so fortunate. There's a whole lot of shows that don't get to do this other thing, which is go on tour. The Nashville reunion tour. We just came back through these parts, and my goodness, each of us, we had no reason to expect. It ended in 18. Uh-huh. So we're talking about 6 years.
Yeah, but you still have new fans. You know, Adam here.
I know.
The front row clapping.
We're so thrilled to see everybody showing up and getting on their feet and listening to these songs.
Is it different when you're here? Like, when you do those reunion shows in the States, is it as, because people here are just, as we said, they're so into it.
There's a whole lot of love. We were in Chicago, and it went crazy. We sold out the Ryman pretty instantly. But there is a sort of a different connection here, and we've been told by some artists, some country artists, that it sort of helped with the country genre.
It absolutely
over here
did
a little bit.
It
well,
absolutely did.
I don't know if it helped as much as Absolute Radio Country does.
Bless your heart. Thank you.
You know I'm a fan.
Hey, let's talk about your new album.
This is crazy.
I think we talked about this the last time we saw each other on Zoom. It said debut album, and I was like, well, this is clearly a typo. I can't believe they've given me misinformation. But it is. It's your debut album. And we should point out that it is your debut album following the fact that you have a Guinness World Record for new single releases every week for 54 weeks. So, I mean, and that's not even all the singles you've released, right?
Correct. Like,
so
there's
you've got a Guinness World Record for the most new singles released consecutively, and yet no debut album until now, like 10 years in the making. Were you just trying to get a Guinness World Record?
No, I literally was. Which is funny. You might totally guess that because when I was a kid, I was one of those little boys that walked around with that paperback of the Guinness Book of World Records.
Too. Yeah, me too.
Always interested.
Thinking, which of these could I do?
Oh, totally. How many gumballs do I have to fit in my mouth?
Yeah, or like, I've had the hiccups now for an hour. Have I broken?
You're flipping through the book going, only 40 more days.
Yeah.
Because it just ended up, I was in Music City and I'd waited so long to get there. By the time I got there, I was in my mid-40s. And I was just a kid in a candy store. And I realized I hadn't released enough music. I had a bunch of songs written. And I said, if I don't take full advantage of this moment, you know, in the show Nashville, and you know this now, producer Adam, there's this song called A Life That's Good. And there's a line in there that says, I want to look back and say I did all that I could. So that's the general mood I was in. So I went out and I was out in the standing by one of my favorite streams. I lifted my phone up to the heavens and I said to everybody on social media, I'm going to start releasing one song a week for as long as I can do it. So that's sort of like a deadline machine.
And then after that, were you like, uh-oh?
No, because I figured I would just stop when I was done. I didn't have any goal. I said, literally on the video, I said, I'll quit when it's stupid. And I blew right through that deadline. And I didn't know, but 54 weeks later, what happened is it just opened up all this creativity, surrounded by all these people. And man, oh man, it just happened. A year after that, I finished. I was on like the Today Show in New York, and the good people from the Guinness Book came by and said that was a record.
Well, you didn't know it until that moment? You hadn't been flipping through your dog.
We thought it might be, but they're the ones that get to say
it. I mean, they're official.
And by the way, one way to get a Guinness World Record is to do something that nobody else would do. It's you're in radio. It's a ridiculous thing to do because people release your single, then you're supposed to give it some love. Sometimes it takes a single month to really climb the charts.
Yeah, sometimes a year.
But every time I would do that, here's another one right on top of that. The reason is I knew that I couldn't tour like everybody else. I was there making this show Nashville.
Right.
And also I said, let's let go of that. Let's just create. Let's just do what you always wanted to do and make music. To me, I got to Nashville so much later than I had ever thought and got back into this music game. So it was just almost my master's course in music. It was my, what do you call your 10,000 hours?
Malcolm
Gladwell said.
Yeah.
So it truly was that. And those 10,000 hours doing those 54 songs were what set me up to start on this album and to finally do it.
The album is called Love Ain't Pretty. The latest single, When Love Ain't Love. You love the words love and ain't. That's what I'm picking up here.
There's a couple on this. You picked that up. Yeah, it didn't get by you at all. I saw that when we were going to do it, and I go, well, is that enough to keep that song off this album? That there's a song called I Ain't, and When Love Ain't Love, and Love Ain't Pretty. So it's all right in there. I think so often we define things by what they are, and sometimes you can define things by what they are not, or as we say in the South, what they ain't.
Hey, so you know we were talking about your Guinness World Record. You must be approaching another one for most Opry performances. Because what have you done? Like 100 and where is 170?
My next one will be 172, and that's very kind of you to say. And that's a number I can't even wrap my head around. But no, there are folks there. My good friend Jeannie Seeley has been there forever. She's up. They just figured out her number. And I added, figure out 15 minutes of performance, 15 minutes where you stand in that circle at that mic. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to remember what her number was. But the way that I figured it out, I'm pretty sure she spent 2 months in that circle over the course of the last 40, 50 years. So there's folks like that. There's Opry members that have been there. But for a guy that just came there back in 12, it's an outlandish number. And I just keep going every time they ask me.
And this is, I mean, it must be exciting every single time. My good friend Kelly Sutton is one of the hosts there. Glorious.
She's so wonderful.
Kelly.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I was talking to her about it. And even though it hasn't been that long since she's been hosting, you know, she's a consummate professional. She does a million exciting things all the time. And she was saying, you know what? Every time I walk through those doors, it is so exciting to go on that stage. And it must be the same for you.
It's completely the same way. Even from the very first time I saw it, it would have been something. It would have been possible for me to come to town and not really quite understand what the Grand Ole Opry was.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, I was raised on it with a father that knew all about it. We listened to recordings where Opry artists would talk about it, whether it was Minnie Pearl or, you know, Hank's
Howdy.
And she would talk about Hank Williams. And she was talking, I remember that we had a recording where she was talking about his debut and nobody knew who he was at this time. And they were saying he got on that stage and to get him off was an impossibility. And then she had this line, she'd go, well, I heard the noise. And then she just was backstage at the Ryman where we did our final episode of Nashville in the same dressing room I was in, and she could hear that roar from on stage. So all that Opry legend, I was raised on it like children's fairy tales. So to walk into that world and to step into that circle, it puts the hair up on my arm every time.
Backstage, are you a sweet tea or a lemonade type of guy?
No, I'm not. I got to stay away from that sugar. I'll get all jacked up and energetic and crash. No. I'll just. Patty does the old Arnold Palmer.
That's
the little tea, unsweet tea, and lemonade. Popcorn's good.
Oh, the everybody talk that popcorn. It is really good. Yeah. I may have made a pig of myself with that popcorn backstage because you just can't stop with popcorn.
Yeah, we notice it. People talk about it.
It's hurtful, but thank you. I know it's true. country music. Everybody's talking about country music at the moment, both in the UK and in the US. Like, you know, Beyonce's had a lot to do with that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Beyonce. Amen. I say. How do you feel about the state of country music right now?
I think it's fascinating. I think it's having another moment. It tends to, if you notice, it steps in and out of the zeitgeist. While it goes away and people, it doesn't go away, but from the popular consciousness and people think, oh, the country, and they refer to it as like, yeah, I know it exists. And then other times it just sort of rears its beautiful head and there it is right at the forefront of what everybody's talking about. And yeah, it is Beyonce and it's so many other great young artists that are bringing a lot of heart to it. I know there was a big backlash against what was bro country or something like that. I never understood that either. You've always been able to find what you want.
Many different types of country music.
Exactly.
Right? And, you know, also, country music was not dead, and Beyonce didn't come along and save it. But what she did do is make people who would never talk about country start talking about country, and I think that's a great thing.
Absolutely. And even listen in, even dial in. So absolutely. Genres are so funny anyway. I mean, we need them. You can't walk into a library and just look for a book without it being in a certain section or alphabetized.
Although
we probably
need them less now because of the way we listen. I mean, we still need them for sure, but you don't have to walk into a record store and go to country and flip to the C to find.
I completely
agree.
Austin. I mean, you listen to this album of mine, you go, yeah, that's country. That's a little more soulful. That's a little more rock. And so all these things, they are blurred and should be blurred. And then meanwhile, you have these things that are just so bang on, deeply country. You go, yeah, okay, that's clear. Genre is. But I'm not one of those people that ever minds it. By the way, I think that when you give a boundary, it's almost an artist's job to say, okay, I'm gonna plow through that. When you say, hey, Beyonce, don't cross this line, it's almost the job of an artist like Beyonce
please don't.
I'm crossing
tell
that
Beyonce
line.
Beyonce what
you.
To do,
exactly.
Y'all.
Exactly. So please cross that line, Beyonce, and welcome and thank you.
You've worked with so many people, friends, both, you know, people that you've worked with on the show and then you worked with musically and elsewhere. Any dream collaborations at the moment?
I always have them. I love good people saying good things. I think recently the one that's come to mind, I'm an Ashley Monroe fan.
We love Ashley Monroe.
Yeah.
What's she doing now?
I actually just the other day said Ashley McBride, and that's true as well. I love both of them. Ashley McBride has been, I've been a fan of hers for a long, long time.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Ashley Monroe, she just popped up again. I think she's such a fantastic songwriter.
She is.
And she actually wrote Life That's Good, that song I referenced earlier. She wrote it with Sarah Siskind. Mm-hmm. And I love her voice and I love her music. So she's one of those, to me, completely authentic and legit people that I love to listen
to.
Yeah,
I want some more music from her, whether it's her solo stuff or Pistolani's or whatever. I just think
she's
such
a wonderful
Yeah, we have a
couple people that we work with, photographers, videographers. And so they just posted about it. I went, oh, yeah. And I started listening again and I remembered why I loved her so much.
Was it always going to be country music? Like in your musical career, like was there other stuff that
I've veered away as you sometimes do in your late teens and early 20s into rock world and I still love all that. When I was in a band in college, I wasn't playing that much country.
What was the band called?
Did you have to do that?
Uh-huh.
It was a French word that meant nothing.
Okay.
Literally, ne pas, N-E-S-T-P-A-S. It's not Nespa, like, is it, or something. It was ne pas. It was just something we were all saying at the time instead of no, like, you're going to study tonight? Ne pas. I was in college, and we saw that they needed a band for this dorm, had a big party. And I said, guys, why don't we do this? Because we had a drummer, and I said, let's give it a try. And we knew we had to have two songs to audition, so we auditioned with the two songs we'd worked on for 2-3 days. And lo and behold, we got the job, and like a week later, we had to play for 2 hours, and we only had two songs. So we went to the basement in that poor fraternity, didn't hear anything, but R.E.M. and U2 and Springsteen and The Police. And,
I'm here for all of this.
The Cure. I mean, we sang. It was all over the map, and it was a joy. And that was about 5 years of my life, and that's what set me up for so many other things, including improv, by the way, because I would stand on that stage waiting for them to tune.
Fill in time.
And I had to just fill it and kill it that time on that mic.
Charles, just before I let you go, we're back here in the UK where your career started, right? Not too far from the building that we're in right now. Like, because was your first, like, big thing was West End?
Absolutely, it was my first big thing. I hadn't done that much at all, and I was in Los Angeles. And I had some managers, didn't even have an agent. Mm-hmm. And I realized they didn't really know anything about me. And so I said, let's have them over to dinner. Patty made some dinner, and I basically showed off for them for about an hour, including picking up a guitar. They didn't know I could play guitar. They didn't know I could sing. I promise you, it was like a week later, I got a phone call. They're auditioning for the role of Buddy Holly in the musical Buddy in London. Would you be interested in that? And I was like, yes.
Had you been to London at that point?
No.
Oh, amazing. I haven't been anywhere. How exciting.
Are you kidding me? So I ended up getting that job, long, long audition process to finally land it. I will never forget coming up out of the tube, out of the staircase, coming up at Victoria Station right there, and I know you don't get those pea soup fogs like you used to back in the day, but it was that night. And there, like a watercolor, was this giant Buddy neon sign. And I said, man, I think I'm going to enjoy this. We are currently right now staying with the producer of Buddy. He opened this. His name's Paul Elliott. He's retired now from it, but he was once the Panto King of all the UK.
Right. And, I bet he's got a nice house.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And he has. He's the reason I'm here. He's the reason, therefore, that I ever got on Whose Line Is It Anyway? This connection we have with this beautiful country, I owe to him and I owe to the great Buddy Holly. So, yeah.
Would you ever do theater again now?
Yeah, I would love that. And I don't know what it would be, but I'd be completely open to that for sure.
Are there any musicals that you've seen that you thought, I got that. I got that in my toolbox.
Well, I don't know. That would be the thing. It's been so long since I've done it. I don't know what's in the toolbox, but that kind of fear is sort of what drives me. That ends up being my if I'm afraid to do it, that sort of turns out to be my true north on the compass. Like, well, I guess I better do that.
It's a hard old job, theater. You know, eight shows a week, or it's just kind of encompassing, isn't it? So many artists
we've had
in here, it's like they would have done it and would never, you know, Carrie Underwood, she obviously did it on television, but she was like, no, I will never, ever do that again. And like Dolly, Reba's done it, but Reba was like, whew, Dolly was like, uh-uh.
No,
you know, it's just a lot of work.
I would love to do that. I like something like The Music Man or something.
Hugh Jackman over here.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what I thought. I heard he was so fantastic.
I can
never
see
got
you
to
in
see
that.
It.
Absolutely.
We'll tell a producer around here, because I was talking to Patty. We were walking around. I said, man, you know what would be nice is to come back here and do another show. We just live here for a while. Go do the shows at night, just like we did so long ago.
Well, there we go. We've put it out into the universe now. So I can't wait to see it come true. It is always a joy to see you. Thanks for coming to see us.
Oh, it's been
so
great.
On your walking tour across the UK.
Well, you happened to be on the route, so we pulled on up. And thanks for giving me a minute.
Lovely to see you. Chip to his friends and neighbors, Charles Esten to everyone else. See you next time.
Take care.
The Country Music Talk Podcast from Absolute Radio Country.
An in-depth look behind the scenes at the world of country music.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll have another dropping soon for y'all, so don't forget to keep it country.
If you enjoy the Country Music Talk Podcast, chances are you'll also enjoy Absolute Radio Country. It's the place where real music matters, and we love country music just as much as you do. You'll find us online on the free Absolute Radio app, on digital radio throughout the UK, or just ask your smart speaker to play Absolute Radio Country.